Deamy v. Gonzalez, Mr. Pachowski.
Members of the court, as in the prior case, the immigration judge found the applicant's testimony in this case to be credible. Essentially, that testimony was that the Ademi family lived in Tetovo, Macedonia. He was an ethnic Albanian. That area of Macedonia was essentially in the hands of the NLA, which was a rebel organization of ethnic Albanians. One night in March 2001, a group of these rebel insurgents come to the Ademi house, have masks on, guns, and they tell Mr. Ademi, you either join our group, since you're an ethnic Albanian, or you pay us $20,000 and we'll be back tomorrow.
Mr. Pachowski, in terms of past persecution, help me to understand how we could, with the facts in this case, get around the Supreme Court's decision in Elias Zacharias, which said that forced recruitment by guerrillas, by a guerrilla insurgency, doesn't constitute political persecution.
Well, I think it essentially it is political persecution because it's imputed based upon the fact that this guy's an ethnic Albanian and the government cannot control this rebel organization. I think there are a number of cases that we've cited that indicate that if you have to take a stand, if you have to go on one side or another, neutrality is political opinion. And this man wanted to remain neutral, and he was singled out because he was an ethnic Albanian. I think where the IJ had a problem was that the Ademi family, number one, didn't stick around. As soon as they were given the ultimatum, they left, and the judge seemed to say, well, you know, how do we know what would have happened? Well, I don't think he has to stick around to find out whether he's going to either join the rebel group or pay the $20,000, and he didn't have the money anyway. Secondly, I think the judge seemed to think, well, because he was given a choice of payment versus joining the rebel army, that somehow didn't amount to persecution. I don't believe that choice. The choice, in my opinion, was either forced conscription or it was extortion. And neither one of them did this family or man want to do. I think the country reports in this case totally back up Ademi's claim. That area of Macedonia, I think 135,000 ethnic Albanians were left homeless. There was reported instances of the NLA taxing their own ethnic Albanians with departure tax. There was various murders back and forth.
But your argument is very odd. Suppose in 1861 a Southerner had fled to the north because he didn't want to be drafted into the Confederate Army, and then the Civil War is over. So you think he would be a victim of persecution by the United States if he were sent back to Mississippi?
Well, yes, I think it would be.
Well, that's a pretty bad argument.
I think basically it's past persecution. He didn't want to join that group.
Yeah, it's pretty forced.
But he was singled out because of his ethnic background and because he wanted to stay neutral. He didn't have a choice.
He was singled out by a rebel group which has since surrendered.
And which has since become a part of the government and in control of that government. But even so,
no, they don't control the government.
They're
the
a part
Albanians
of,
don't control the Macedonian government.
No, but they are a part, the NLA are a part of the organized government now.
Does that mean that because they are now, that you can attribute what they did in the past as persecution, even though they were part of the government then?
No, I don't think because they're now a part of the government, it's past persecution. I think it's past persecution because the Macedonian government was unable to control the operations of the NLA back in March of 2001 when these events took place. And as in the previous case, the law is well settled that if the government cannot control a rebel organization or group of individuals, then that still can amount to persecution. And then I think the record is pretty clear that back then, the Macedonian government could not control the NLA. They were fighting. And again, as in the, I think the case of Hoare versus Gonzalez that this court decided in August of last year supports our position as to governmental control over rebel organizations. And I believe since Demme established past persecution, the burden should have shifted to the government to prove changed country conditions, and it did not.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pachowski. Mr. Drury?
May it please the court, counsel. This court should deny the petition for review because the Ademis did not suffer from past persecution and do not have a well-founded fear of future persecution. There are three reasons why the conduct complained of does not constitute past persecution. First, on March 21, 2001, the NLA was an armed insurgent group, and this court and other courts have held in the law is clear that a threat posed by an armed insurgency does not amount to persecution unless the government is unwilling or unable to control the insurgency.
Here, there's when they're unable to control, when there's basically a war going on, obviously they're not going to, as long as it's still ongoing, they're not going to control the enemy. So what does unable to control mean? How far does that stretch?
Your Honor, some examples that have been put forth in the case law is when a person goes, when a refugee goes to the police or to the army, and the army says, we can't help you. That was the situation in Hoare versus Gonzalez. The army says, we just can't protect everybody. Another case, one of the refugees, it was Gushenkov, the police said they had more important things to do. Here there's no evidence that the Macedonian government, Macedonian police, Macedonian army was unwilling to do anything for the Ademi family. They simply fled, and the country reports don't say that the government would have been unwilling to take up his cause and help him. The Ademis left, and the record is barren as to what would have happened. The second reason that the evidence doesn't support this being past persecution is because the NLA's conduct does not fit within the definition of persecution. The NLA did not harm the Ademis in any way, they did not threaten the Ademis in any way, and they did not punish the Ademis in any way. They merely went to the Ademis' house on March 21, 2001, and told Mr. Ademi, or asked Mr. Ademi, join the army or pay us $20,000. Mr. Ademi said, I'll do that, and they went away. At most, this is harassment, and harassment does not amount to persecution. The third reason this doesn't amount to past persecution is because the NLA did not go to the Ademi's house to punish him for some political opinion. It imputed to him. It imputed to him. As counsel, as Ademi's counsel agreed with the IJ at the hearing, the NLA went to the house figuring that Ademi, as a fellow ethnic Albanian and someone with army experience, he had been a soldier in the Yugoslav army, would want to take up the NLA's cause, and that's why they went there. So there is no evidence that this was past persecution. But even if there was, Your Honors, the Ademi still should not be granted asylum because of the changed country conditions. In August of 2001, just 5 months after the Ademis fled from Macedonia, there was a peace agreement between the NLA and the government, and that peace agreement holds today. As Your Honors had mentioned and was discussed during the opening argument, the National Liberation Army now has some seats in the government, and there's no evidence that there's any tension between ethnic Albanians. That is, there's no tension between the NLA and the Ademis. Just as there is no evidence of past persecution, the evidence did not support the claim that there was a well-founded fear of future persecution. That claim, it wasn't subjectively reasonable or objectively reasonable. The IJ found that Mr. Ademi was not credible with respect to his claim of future persecution. And this court has held that if a petitioner's testimony is not credible, they can't show a subjective fear of future persecution. Similarly, it was not objectively reasonable, Your Honors. And this conclusion is supported, again, by the changed country conditions, the fact that the Ademis still have family living in Macedonia who have not suffered any repercussions that is in the record, and the fact that despite the claim of a fear of going back to Macedonia because Mr. Ademi is being held responsible for some sort of murder, no criminal prosecution or criminal proceedings have been implemented against Mr. Ademi in any way.
Just in general terms, if these rebels, say, control a certain part of the country, and say they went to his house and instead of just trying to recruit and other things, suppose they did beat him up or do other things, they control that part of the country, so the government, official government, doesn't really have any ability to protect. Does that amount to persecution by the government because they're unable to protect at the time? Would that amount to past persecution if they'd done some harm and took his house or did other things?
Just so I understand, so if the same situation, they had come and actually done physically done something.
Yeah, I assume the rebels controlled that part of the country, didn't they, at that time?
I believe they were in there. I don't know if control is the right word, John. No. But they were there, and they were aggressive in that region.
Okay, I guess I only look at it for general terms, because there are times when there wouldn't be a fight if the government were in charge. So and eventually the government did, I guess, take over, and then they settled and did all these other things. But I'm just looking at it from a general point of view, because everybody's going to be arguing past persecution for different reasons, and it has to be attributable to the government. And if the government is incapable, given the political and military situation, does that amount to past persecution, even though the government didn't do it?
Your Honor, I believe there could be a situation where that could be past persecution, depending on the type of conduct that was inflicted upon the
refugee. Yeah, bad, whatever. Beat him up.
There could be a situation, Your Honor, where that could be past persecution if it goes beyond just mere harassment or merely making threats. Those aren't the facts in this case.
Even though it wasn't the government that did it.
If the government was unable or unwilling to control
unable.
It. Unable. Yeah, and I guess that would go back to this other case law. If there was evidence that the person went to the government and they said, we're not going to help you, we can't help you, go into hiding. There's cases that say you're better off just going into hiding. So I think there would have to be a lot more facts to show what the government was doing to be unable, to make that conclusion that they were unable to do that.
So then you'd have to focus on changed conditions in the country and no longer... that situation doesn't exist anymore.
Right. If there was the finding that there was past persecution, we move to the next argument of are there changed conditions? And the facts here clearly show that the conditions have changed since March of 2001, and they changed just 5 months later.
Okay.
Your Honor, if I could just conclude briefly, the government respectfully requests that this court deny the petition for review for the reasons stated, and I thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. Drury. Mr. Pichalski, how much time does he have? 4 minutes? Anything further?
Just briefly. I believe, again, the government of Macedonia was unable to control the NLA in that region, and I think that is borne out by the country reports. I also believe that what we were dealing here, forced conscription or extortion, rises to the level of persecution. What is this man supposed to do? Wait and see when they come back what they're going to do if he says, no, I'm not going to pay and I'm not going to go into your army? So I think he did the only thing a sensible individual would do, and that was to leave. Also, I don't believe the consul at the in the immigration court agreed with the
Why did they leave the country rather than just leaving that area of Macedonia?
They did. They did leave the country 3 days later.
No. Why did he leave the country rather than just moving to another part of Macedonia?
I don't know. I don't think that was ever brought out in the record. It could have been that he didn't feel safe in other areas of Macedonia. Again, at that point in time,
have been reasonable?
I think
we don't want a situation which everybody in a civil war situation can come to the United States, even though, as in my hypothetical about the Civil War, there's much of the country is perfectly safe, right?
I would assume a portion of the country was perfectly safe.
Yeah, so but, that's where the person should go before he comes to the United States.
Well, I...
Otherwise, you have, you know, whenever there's a civil war situation, you're going to have the whole... The whole population in the rebel area that doesn't like the rebels is going to come to the United States.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be the case or not, but I don't believe that the fact that he left the United States or left Macedonia played into this decision.
But anyway, there's no evidence that he's going to be in any kind of danger if he goes back.
I think there was evidence. He indicated that one of his neighbors, a high-ranking NLA member, was killed, and he was blamed for the death. But again, if we showed past persecution, then the burden should have shifted to the government to show changed conditions, and that was not done. For the reasons stated in my brief, I would ask that the petition be granted.
Okay, well, thank you, Kachowski and Mr. Drury. Next case for argument is Kwok versus Gonzalez.